about being rooted and grounded, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 2. That's going to be the two main passages that we're going to be reading this morning. Ephesians chapter 3, let's start off with verse 1. Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Now, for those of us that are here in the assembly this morning, we understand what that, what the significance of the Paul makes the references to you Gentiles. And we have a great appreciation that there's an apostle that writes to Gentiles. We understand that the majority of the book, the Bible from Genesis to all the way up to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts is written to the nation of Israel. And that from Hebrews all the way to the book of the Revelation is written to Israel, written to the Jews. But we have 13 books in the New Testament that are specifically written to you and I as Gentiles, as members of the body as of Christ, those of us that have trusted the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is very important and powerful to us and comforting to us that he says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you." We have an apostle who is says he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you, for us Gentiles. And he says, "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which has given me to you word, how that by revelation He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Very interesting things that the Apostle Paul says to this, to the Gentiles here that he's writing to us. He says in verse 8, "Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the what? Unsearchable riches of Christ." There's things that we just discussed here just a second ago that you cannot find about Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's things that you can't find about from Christ from the book of Genesis all the way to the 8th chapter of Acts. There's things about Christ that you'll not know, that you'll not find. There's things about Christ that you're not going to find in Hebrews through the book of Revelation. The unsearchable riches of Christ. He says that, "And to make all men see what is the what? Fellowship. Fellowship of the mystery." This information, the purpose is to make all men see what is this mystery, this fellowship that we have. Now we understand that when we study Scripture, that's how we study Scripture. We study it from a dispensational viewpoint. We understand that the Apostle Paul is our apostle, he is our pattern, and when we study anything about the Bible, we study it from Paul's viewpoint. But notice, in verse 11 it says, "According to the eternal purpose which was purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Verse 12, "In whom we have boldness and access with what? Confidence by the faith of Him." There was a purpose that God had hid from the foundation of the world that He purposed in Christ Jesus. And that purpose, there's some information that was saved for you and I today. They're unsearchable until it's given by revelation from Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. And it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. All the trouble that He's been in, it's been on their behalf. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ. Which, what does the love of Christ do? According to this verse, it says, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with the fullness of God. 1 Timothy 2:4, you don't have to turn there or make your notes. The Apostle Paul says that it's God's will that all men might be what?
Saved.
Saved. God's will is that all men might be saved. And is that it? Is that what the end of the verse? It says also to come into the what? Knowledge of the truth. The knowledge of the truth will give you boldness and access with confidence. Paul, he says here in verse 14, he says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Paul prays for this, that this would be so in us, that we would be able to comprehend the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. We talk about, Paul says, brethren, I would that ye not be what? Ignorant. See, Paul does not want us to be ignorant. There's information, there's things about Christ that Paul does not want the believers to be ignorant about. Paul says that we should know how to answer every man, does he not? Should we not have an answer for man? Does God's Word have an answer? Sure does. God's Word has an answer for every problem, every question. That's why we should be involved in studying it, so when people have a question, we can supply them an answer from the Word of God. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ. Paul says that their hearts might be comforted. There's conflict. He says that ye know what great conflict I have for you. But even though there is this conflict, he says that your hearts might be what? Comforted. Being knit together in love and unto all riches of the what? What's those two words?
Full assurance.
Full assurance. Has anybody ever sung the song Blessed Assurance? Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Can you sing that with confidence? Isn't it something to be able to sing a song like that, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine, with confidence? How many people do you know that you think they're in the churches that sing Blessed Assurance, but it's not Blessed Assurance? Paul says that their hearts might be comforted. How many likes to be comfortable? How many of you like to be uncomfortable? Isn't it nice to be comforted? When you have a need, isn't it nice to be comforted? That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and to all riches of the full assurance of what? understanding. You have full assurance of what's going on. You have comfort in what's going on because you understand why it's going on. Even though there's this great conflict that's going on, and Paul's telling about this, he says you can be comforted. You can have full assurance because you have what? Understanding. You have understanding. You can have full assurance of the understanding to the acknowledgement of what? The mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. This mystery just isn't set up so we can go, there's a difference between Jews and Gentiles. Thank you for your attention. There's a difference between law and grace. Amen. Come back next week. No, we have confidence. We understand that Jesus Christ there was information about Jesus Christ that God the Father from the foundation of the world kept secret and revealed it to the Apostle Paul and revealed it to us through the Scriptures, that when I hear Scripture, when I study Scripture, when I have life circumstances, I understand how God's Word works. I understand how it's laid out. I see the design process that's laid out into it. And I can have full assurance and confidence in the Scriptures because I can understand what God's Word is. How God's Word's laid out. I don't have to go up to a guy with a three-piece suit and a tie and a forked tongue to get all my information. See, I can have confidence in the Word of God, that it's laid out and structured for me, that I can understand it, that God had set up before the foundation of the world for it to be there for me. Ray brought up 2 Corinthians 1:24, which is our attitude here at Grace Bible Church. We try to strive to have that attitude. Not for that we have dominion over your faith. See? Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. You don't stand by me having dominion over you. That's not where you stand at. Unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God. The Apostle Paul says in order to be a bishop or a pastor today that you have to hold the mystery of the truth in a what? Pure conscience. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Where are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? Where are they at? Yeah, they're in God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's where they're at. And verse 4, and least I say, least any man should beguile you with what? Enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying, beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul says, you know, I have joy here. I'm beholding the order that you're in. You're not in disarray. You're not scatterbrained and in fear and in ignorance and all that stuff. He says, I joy beholding your order. You got your affairs laid out. You're established. You're assured. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith, where? In Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and builded up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. He says, rooted. Have any of you ever had a garden? There's something else that grows in your garden besides potatoes and green beans and corn and what else grows in there? Weeds. And when you're dealing with your garden, you're dealing with your garden, you walk through the garden, you see them weeds. To get rid of them weeds, all you do is smack them, don't you? And they just fall right over. I mean, weeds ain't no problem. No, you got to get down there, don't you? And some of them rascals got roots, don't they? And then you got to yank to get them things out of there. Paul says that, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in Him what? So walk ye in Him what? Rooted. Rooted. A lot of people, when they decide to get rid of their trees in their yard, they have somebody come in, they cut all the limbs off, and then they cut it down, and they got this stump. Why do you think they leave the stump there? Why do you think the stump's still there? Because there's roots underground, and you can't get them things out of there. And if you do, what do you got in the ground? So, when you get established, and you get that assurance, see, the more we learn, guess where our roots, guess what they do? They grow. They get stronger, and they get stronger, and they get stronger. And buddy, we're grounded. We're in that ground. And no matter, you come up and you start throwing stuff, and you say, no, no, no. But a person who don't understand this, don't have this information, how are they? Fall right out, man. Can reach right up. Can destroy them. Just that's what Satan wants forever. Satan don't want you to be rooted and grounded. Rooted and built up in Him. And established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So when I was telling you how thankful I am, how aghast I am of knowing what I know about the Scriptures, of how comforting that is, understanding the Scriptures. Now, verse 8, everybody say that word.
Beware.
You know, if you get out of your car and you're going to visit somebody or whatever and you don't pay attention and you get out of your car and you close the door and you walk up and you get about halfway to the residence and you happen to look up and you see a sign that says, beware of dog. What do you do? You pay attention, don't you? You pay attention. Beware. And Paul says right here, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Spoil. You've heard the spoils of war. What is spoils? Yeah, loot, rob. Paul saying, beware lest anybody rob you through philosophy and vain deceit. After what? Tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now verse 10 is what we need to understand. Verse 10 is what we need to understand. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Is there any principality and power that supersedes Christ? No. No, there's nobody. There's nothing. There's nothing whatsoever that supersedes Christ. He is the head of all principality and power. And verse 10 says, ye are what?
Complete.
You're complete. You are complete in Him. Turn back to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. See, our walk should be with wisdom and with spiritual understanding. Your daily life, your daily walk at the workplace, with your family, with your friends, our walk should be with wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's who we should be. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. And look at what that says. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Should you ever stop learning? No. You should always be increasing in the knowledge of God. Look at verse 11. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with bitterness. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. See, if we have the understanding of Scriptures and we understand what God's will is and how God has things laid out, when bad things happen, you know what we might be able to have? Patience to go through it. Long suffering to deal with it. See? With what? Joyfulness. Paul asked the Lord 3 times, did he not? Lord, take this thing away from me. Paul's prayer was to try to get God to change his mind, to get the Lord to change his mind about that thing that was put on him, the message of Satan to buffet him. Okay? But what was Paul's attitude after that? Changed, didn't it? See? Paul was thankful for the, and was going to use it. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 12, which hath made us meet to be takers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Have you been delivered from the power of darkness? According to the Word of God, it says you have. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Are you going to listen to philosophy when it comes to the issues? Is that going to be your main source? You're going to listen to the rudiments of the world, the traditions. Can your tradition actually harm someone? Oh yeah. Your tradition that you're so comfortable with, that you're such in that comfort zone with, your tradition could actually harm somebody. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Being rooted and grounded in the Scriptures is people who don't have that comfort, that don't have that assurance. I mean, I would hate to think that that if I laid in bed at night, that I did not know, that I did not have that knowledge, that comfort. Or if somebody come up and said, well, you know, or you know that person can't be, or this is happening because of, see. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I've what? I know who I believe. And am what? Persuaded. You see those words? confidence, full assurance. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Which what? Listen to this. Paul says, I know whom I believe. I am grounded, I am rooted, I am established. I am comforted by this information. See, we want to teach people how to study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But there's more to it than just understanding the difference between Israel's program and the difference between the body of Christ's program. There's comfort in the Scriptures that you can be settled. You can settle the matter once for all. Not have to second guess it. I get questions and I get phone calls from people. Paul says that there's a simplicity that's in what? Christ. Is salvation hard? Do you understand salvation? Do you fully understand salvation without a doubt in your mind? Isn't that awesome? I mean, right now, can you sit here, the sound of my voice, can you say for a fact you're going to heaven? You're going. But what if somebody tells you you're not? Huh? What if somebody smarter than you says there's no way that you could be going to heaven? What if somebody says, I went to school with you, I know you're not going to heaven? Huh? Can anybody change that fact, what you know about who you are in Christ? Are you rooted and grounded and established in that knowledge? Could somebody easily knock you over? What's that worth to you? What's that worth to you? Paul says the riches that's in Christ Jesus. Hey folks, that's worth a lot. To be rooted, to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. I wouldn't trade that for nothing, folks. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Nothing in the world. And that's what our goal is, to make all men see what is that fellowship. Being knit together, comforted in love, rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. How much time I got? 1 minute. Well, I guess that'd be a good time to close then. But at any rate, I just wanted to share that with you this morning. And sometimes it's good to recap and time to go back to the basics to see where we're at and the importance of it. You kind of lose sight of where you come from and where you're going sometimes.